Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning. We especially welcome any guests who are here with us today. We are glad to have you with us. We invite you to join us for coffee in the fellowship hall after the service. We are called to worship with these words from Isaiah 57, verse 15. For this is what the High and Exalted One says, He who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. I invite you to prepare for worship with a moment of silent prayer.
Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? The words of Psalm 22 were shouted out as Jesus hung on the cross. The sun was not shining, even though it was the middle of the day. This psalm screams out to God for deliverance, feeling abandoned in the worst moments. The feeling comes through here. Jesus feels the distance widening. There must have seemed to be a gap as Jesus took the sin of the world on his shoulders. And yet, knowing that our sin was now his, Jesus was crying out to God. What an example of faith. At its deepest level, faith is crying out when it seems that God is far away. And it was the sacrifice of Jesus that allows us to cry out, knowing that our cries are heard. It was for our peace that he was punished.
Majestic is your name in all the earth. Morning. Our God is a God who loves. And when Jesus first came into the scene of ministry in Mark chapter 1, when he's being baptized by John the Baptist, a voice from heaven calls out and says, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased," or fully pleased. And this blessing that our God gave to Jesus extends to us because we are all adopted sons and daughters of God. So let me say to you from God, you are my son, you are my daughter. With you, I am well pleased. This is the greeting from the Lord. Now, as God has greeted us, let us greet one another. But as you do that, you know, I always like for you to hug. But this time, I want you guys to do it a little differently. I want the fathers to hug their sons or daughters. I want the husbands to hug their wives or wives to husbands and say this, "You are a blessing to me." So let's do it.
Blessing.
This next song is very fitting. God accepts us just as we are because he created us. We are perfect in his sight. So let us sing this.
God, our 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 God, our
Psalm 32 says this, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit is no deceit. We are blessed when we come to him to confess our sins. Sometimes we think that the sins that we commit are big things like murder, adultery, or stealing. But you know, actually, the bigger sins are subtle ones. Subtle ones like we think we are God. We think that we know better than God. So I'll talk about that some more later, but as we come to ask God for, as we come to repent of our sins, let's remember that God is indeed God. And we need his blessing. We need his forgiveness. So let us go to him in prayer. Our God and our Father, we recognize how great you are, and you are the only one who is good. You are the only one who is holy and perfect. And Lord, every day we fall short of that. But Lord, you gave us Jesus. And Jesus, you willingly went to the cross for us. Even when you felt abandoned, as Diana read this morning, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? But you didn't forsake us, Lord. You gave us Jesus to forgive our sins, every sin, past, present, and future. So we come to you, understanding that and resting in that, to say, Lord, forgive us. We repent. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us to be more like Jesus each and every day. And Father, thank you for allowing us to enter into your presence because of Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. Okay, let's sing Be the Center. May I have the children up for the children's message? As they're coming up, I want to thank you guys, the praise team, for your leading us. And Cheryl, thank you for keep picking different people to join you in the praise team. I'm thrilled at that our gifts are coming out and we're able to see people give to our congregation. Hi. Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes?
Okay, good. Whew. That settles my mind. Why are you sitting way over there? Come on. Okay. Let's say someone comes to you and has a bag of candy, all right, and said, hey, little boy, little girl, would you come with me if I give you this candy? Would you go? No? No? Are you sure? I think some of you guys are a little doubtful. It's a whole bag of candy. No, you're thinking about it. What about if it's a puppy? No? Yeah, you're going, yeah, if it's a puppy, you're gonna go with it? Yeah, well, you know what? Oh, you're giving the thumbs up. You know, Satan does that to us all the time. He comes to us, and even though we want to be good, we want to be following Jesus and be obedient to our parents, Satan always comes and says, hey, look, here's a puppy, here's a bag of candy, here's something else that you want, Nintendo game or Xbox or something like that, and says, will you come with me? And what's your response? What should be your response? No, that's right. You don't go into a stranger's car and you don't do those things that Satan wants you to do by enticing you with good things, right? So today, we're going to be talking about that, okay? So I'm so happy that you guys won't go for a bag of candy and maybe a puppy, but you know, I might even think about going for a puppy. But let's be strong together, okay? All right, let's go. Let's go to our classes. And now your parents have to go get them puppies. Sorry. Let's get our Bibles together, and I know we're going to put the scripture up here. Dan's going to put Genesis 3, 1 through 15 up there for those of you who need big letters. But for the rest of us, either get your pew Bibles or your phones out or tablets, and let's turn to Genesis 3. And as I read to you, would you stand to receive the word of God? So, and if you can't stand, that's okay. But for those of you who can, receive the word of God standing. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." This is the word of God. You may be seated. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you that, Lord, your word is true. That, Lord, your word pierces our hearts and causes us to be more like you. And that is our prayer today, Lord, that you will illumine our hearts, our minds, and allow us to see you in the midst of this. And we give you all glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You've heard of Helen of Troy, haven't you? That's a beautiful romantic story. Now, Helen had a face that launched 1,000 ships. She was known as the most beautiful woman in her time. She was so beautiful that all of the Greek heroes came to win her heart. And in fact, it wasn't just the Greek heroes. The whole world, men of the whole entire world, wanted to have her hand in marriage. So they all came. So if you were her father, what would you do? You panic, because all these mighty men of valor are coming to ask for her hand. Now, Helen, mythology says that Helen was a daughter of Zeus, the chief god of the Greeks, and Leda, who was the queen of Sparta. Okay, now, her father, her earthly father, his name was, I got to get this right, Tyndareus. Okay, so Tyndareus was perplexed. What am I going to do? What am I going to do when all these men of valor like Odysseus, Achilles, and Ajax, and all these people, all these heroes are coming? So he was worried. And so Odysseus comes. You know, Odysseus, the one who is the hero of Odyssey and Iliad that Homer wrote about. Okay, so Odysseus comes to him and says, "I actually don't want Helen. I want Penelope." Penelope was his Tyndareus's niece. His brother Icarius was the father of Penelope, and so Odysseus said, "I want her instead of Helen," because Odysseus knew he wasn't going to be able to beat all these heroes. So, and he was smart. So he said, "In order for you not to get killed or have all of Greece go to war against itself, let's make a pact." So the pact was this: whoever Tyndareus chooses as the husband for Helen, everybody else signed a treaty that says if something were to happen to Helen, they would come to win her back. So they would stand with whoever the winner of the hand of Helen, and they would stand with them. Okay? So Tyndareus, he chooses Menelaus. So Menelaus wins the hand of Helen, and she becomes his wife. And they have a beautiful daughter, and everything's going well in Sparta. And then Paris comes. Paris was prince of Troy. And so he comes on a diplomatic mission. But he came because he was the judge in a beauty contest. Okay? Three goddesses were arguing about who is the most beautiful goddess. Okay? So Hera, who is the mother of, or wife of Zeus, goddess of marriage and childbearing, and Athena, who is goddess of wisdom, and Aphrodite, goddess of love, the three of them were trying to figure out who the most beautiful goddess was. And so they asked Paris to judge. So Aphrodite goes to Paris in secret and says, if you choose me, then I will give you the most beautiful woman in the world. Okay? So Paris chose Aphrodite. Because what man would not want the most beautiful woman in the world? And that's why I'm married to Lauren, right? So of course, she says she's bamboozled. And, you know, we men, we bamboozle our women, right? So Paris comes to Sparta, where Menelaus and Helen are happily living. And they're in love, and they have by now they have about a 9-year-old daughter, okay? And Paris, on some accounts, Helen falls in love with Paris. Some accounts, she doesn't. So in any case, Paris takes Helen and goes back to Troy. So either they elope or Helen is kidnapped. So they go to Troy. Now, if you were Menelaus, what would you do? Jordan, what would you do if somebody stole your wife? Hmm? Go after her. That's right. You better have said that. Right? So Menelaus goes to his brother Agamemnon and says, we got to go after her. We got to go to Troy. We got to destroy that city and bring her back. And of course, all these heroes signed a treaty. So the Greeks launched 1,000 ships to go after Helen. All because this woman was the most beautiful woman in the world. Okay? Now, mankind lived in harmony with God in paradise. God creates mankind. In fact, if you have your Bibles, we all have Bibles with us. So Genesis 1, Dan, you can put up Genesis 1. Starting from verse 26. This is what it says. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So here's the thing. Our God, in fact, if I go back a little bit farther, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So how God created the universe was out of nothing. There was nothing. And out of nothing, the scholars call this creatio ex nihilo, creation out of nothing. Okay, now, if we wanted to make something, if we wanted to make this pew, what do we need? We need wood. We need nails. Well, nails, you need steel or metal to form it, but we need something. We don't know how to make anything out of nothing. We don't have the power to make anything out of nothing, but God does. And so God creates the universe. And that's the account in Genesis 1. But what baffles my mind is that his magnum opus, or his grandest masterpiece, was mankind. I mean, think about this. We are God's masterpiece. He created the heavens and the earth. You look at the universe and all the stars. You look at the world. This morning, driving into church, We could not stop saying how beautiful it is with all the snow, particularly this type of snow where it sticks to the trees. And, you know, sometimes some of the trees look like it was painted, right? All those things are masterpieces. But God's magnum opus is us. And he goes on to say that. First of all, he waited to the last minute, or no, he didn't wait to the last minute. He left the masterpiece to the very end. So he creates us. And he not only creates us, but he tells us, his command to us is to rule over the fishes of the ocean, the animals in the land, and the flying animals, the birds in the air. So God created man in his own image. He didn't create the animals in his image, but God created us in his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Interesting. Male and female. I'm going to let that sit. He created them. But he didn't stop there. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth, of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts on the earth and all the birds of the air, all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And so it was. So he didn't just tell us to rule the earth. He also gave us food. We didn't need shelter because we were in paradise. It hasn't even rained yet. That all comes after the fall. But we were in paradise, and we were given everything. We had dominion. We were God's masterpiece. And this is what he says. God saw all that he made, and it was very good. God saw everything that he created. And it was very good. Nothing was wrong with this paradise. Then what happens? Just like Paris coming into Sparta to steal Helen, Satan comes, the serpent comes. And that's what we read in chapter 3. He comes to steal God's masterpiece. What does he say? How does he do it? He says this. He says, did God really say? We get that today too, don't we? Did the Bible really say? God created male and female? Did the Bible really say? Does the Bible really say? Satan is still trying to steal us from God, from paradise. And we've already lost the paradise, but he still does it. But he doesn't stop there. Why does he want us to eat the fruit? When the woman says, "If we eat this fruit, we will surely die," Satan says, "No, you won't surely die. You won't die." Why? Because the serpent said to the woman, "For God knows that when you eat of it, Your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So here's his deeper seduction, deeper enticement. You know why God doesn't want to, God can't kill you? Because he's just afraid of you. Because if you eat that fruit, you'll be just like God. Isn't that enticing? I mean, he does that to us today too, right? We think that we know better than God, don't we? We do. The world does, for sure, right? I mean, it's whatever we feel. So if I want to do this, then I can do it because there is no God. That's what the world says. And sometimes we believe it too, don't we? Sin is subtle. Sin is very subtle. And that's what Satan is doing. Satan is just putting a wedge. First he starts with a little wedge, and he opens it. You know how they built the pyramids with those big stones? They just put little wood, piece of wood, and then put water in it. And as the water expands the wood, those big giant rocks, they split. That's what Satan is doing. So they eat the fruit. They eat the fruit. So what happens when they eat the fruit? They do understand good and evil. Remember, God created everything and he said it was very good. So what did the eating of the tree, fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and bad do? Good and evil. It introduced evil into this world. It opened our eyes to what evil is. And now we think evil is murder, stealing, lying, all those things, the sensational things. But what was the first thing that they noticed when they ate of the fruit? They lost their innocence, because what they recognized was they were naked. Before eating the fruit, they had no idea they were naked, because they were innocent. It wasn't until they ate the fruit that they realized, wait a second, we're naked. So what did they try to do? They got sewed fig leaves together. Anybody seen fig tree? I have. I can understand the fig tree, you know, the leaves are pretty big. So, you know, you get a couple of them, you can cover yourself. But, you know, it rips pretty fast. You can sew it, but, you know, you walk a couple of paces and then it starts to rip. Well, they're not so smart, but they lost their innocence. What's the second thing they do? When God comes to them and says, what happened? Who told you were naked? What does the man do? What does Adam do? Reason why I asked you guys to hug your husbands and wives, your children, and tell them you are a blessing is because this is the sin that Adam committed. He says, you know that woman you gave me? She caused me to eat the fruit. She gave me the fruit. It's your fault. It's her fault. It's your fault. We do that all the time, don't we? We blame our wives. We blame our children. That's the next evil thing that we learned by eating was blame. Because what does Eve do? Well, it wasn't my fault. It was the serpent. It was the serpent. He made me do it. subtle. So now, by now, you're probably thinking, okay, Adam and Eve sinned, so why are we punished? Right? I mean, that's their sin. So why are we punished? Well, let's go back to Helen. Okay. When those 1,000 ships left, it contained, those ships carried husbands, fathers, sons. There was no one in Greece that wasn't affected by that war. That war, Trojan War, lasted 10 years. Greeks lost their father, their husbands, their sons. Trojans, they were cooped up in their city for 10 years. I don't know how they could have lasted 10 years, but they lasted 10 years. That city was affected. When evil was introduced, we are all infected by evil. And therefore, we all, as Romans 3:23 says, we all have sinned and fallen short of glory of God. Because God is perfect. God is good. Jesus says there is no one good except God. He says this when someone came to him and called him good teacher. He says, what do you mean good teacher? No one is good except God. And this good God created a good world. But with the introduction of evil, now everything is affected. Everything is affected. So we are affected by sin. And it doesn't take a little take very long for us to recognize a little child has sin in them, as much as we love them. And it doesn't take a long time for us to sit down and say, wait a second, I am that evil. That's why we're all affected. And if it wasn't Adam and Eve, it would have happened with someone else, and we'd be blaming them. Remember, blame was the second thing that came in. So we lost the paradise. We were born into paradise. We lost paradise. So what? Is that it? No. Just as the Greeks launched 1,000 ships to bring Helen back, our God has launched thousands of ships to win us back. He sent the prophets. He sent the fathers, great fathers of our faith. He sent missionaries. I don't know how many of you guys are Jews. I'm not. But as Gentiles, we were grafted into God's kingdom. Final act was what Diana read today. Jesus on the cross, the last thing he says is, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, God didn't forsake Jesus, but Jesus had to feel what we feel. The abandonment. The sense of, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. God the Son, Jesus, came into our world as a little baby child. And died on the cross. He was the Trojan horse to defeat Satan. Genesis 3:15, the proto-evangelium, the first gospel, what does it say? This is what it says. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head. Jesus will crush the Satan's head. Death is what he crushed. and he, Satan, will bite his heel. Well, that was death. Okay, so on the cross, Jesus did die. That was the cry. Why have you forsaken me? He died. But what happened 3 days later? The tomb stays empty. Still stands empty. I went to visit it in 2003. It's empty. Jesus is risen. And according to Paul in 2 Corinthians, more than 500 people saw Jesus live. Paul was one of those people. History books record Jesus' existence. Helen, I'm not so sure about. Greek gods, even the Greeks would say they're Job. But our God is real. This God sent thousands of ships to rescue you. So I don't know what you're feeling today. I don't know if you were feeling unwanted, miserable. Maybe you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. But let this be the good news. Your God, your lover, he has assembled an army and he's coming after you to rescue you from Satan. Even if you have already accepted Jesus, know that fact. He loves you that much. And because of Jesus, fully God, fully man, because he died on our behalf, we are once again restored to goodness. Okay? And that's why when God sees Jesus as he's being baptized, as he comes out of the water, he says, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased, fully, completely pleased." And that's what he's saying to you. You are my lover. I am fully, completely pleased with you. You are good. Now, those of you who have yet to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's coming. He has sent legions of people to rescue you. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? So here's my challenge to you today. As you go through today, think about that. Think about how much you are loved. Eventually, Troy fell, and Menelaus wins Helen back, takes her back to Sparta, and he completely forgives her. And they have a harmonious marriage. That's myth. Our God, through Jesus, has restored us. And he will come again. And all the things that we're feeling, all the things, all the rejection, all the loneliness, all that will disappear. Because we will be good once again. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you so much that you launched thousands of ships to rescue us, not just as a people, not just as a community, but James, Lauren, John, Stacy. Lord, you've chased after us individually. Father, we thank you that you don't let Satan just steal us. You don't let him bamboozle us, but you come to rescue us. We love you. Come, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen. Let us all rise and sing, "And Can It Be?"
Before we come together for our congregational prayer, are there any announcements or prayer requests that we should know? Okay, let us come to our God in prayer. Our God, our Father, we thank you for the assurance of your amazing love for us and the confidence we can have from you to come before your throne and talk to you in prayer. We give thanks to you for your gifts of life and love and ask you to open our eyes continually to see the signs of your life and love around us. With thanksgiving, we see your faithfulness to us. You made the earth in which we live and grow. Thank you for the sustenance we receive from creation and the earth's gifts to us. Help us to be good caretakers of this earth, Lord. Bless us with wisdom and the humbleness needed to be good stewards. God, we ask that you speak to all powerful leaders of nations on this earth. May they heed your message of justice and reconciliation. May they make sincere efforts toward peaceful relations. Lord, bless our community of Ingersoll, too. May it continue to be a healthy and safe place to live. Thank you for missionaries who work to spread your good news in different parts of the world. Please bless and give strength to the Wakatabis and the Sardars, and help us to be a good support to them. Lord God, help our congregation in our time of seeking a pastor. May we be blessed with peaceful and encouraging fellowship with each other. Help us to remain focused on the work of your kingdom and keep us faithful in meeting together. Bless the calling committee. Help us to be an encouragement to them as they continue with the work we have commissioned them to do. We also thank you for the renovation work that has begun in our church and are thankful for the safety experienced by the workers. Please bless the work that will continue into the spring. Keep all the workers safe. May all the plans continue smoothly. God bless all the people who put so much into operations of this church. Thank you for the congregational meeting where we could come together and share even more with each other. May you send us up leaders, Lord, to respond to your call to the nurturing and faith lives of others. Bless to our worship committee and the musicians. Thank you for the gifts they share and the blessing they are for our church. Lord, we pray for the members of this congregation and their families that are in special need. We bring before you Gilvin Slignenhorst, Minnie Treline, and Daniel Bierman. You know their unique needs, Lord, and we ask for your healing and that they may feel your presence each day. God, also for those who experience anxiety, depression, or any other struggle that they may not share or is not easily seen by others, may they know your love for them and may they feel their worth as your son or daughter. God, we ask that you continue to be near the Hagsma family as they mourn. May they feel a special measure of your peace. Lord, as we go out from here today, send us with a vision of our part in your kingdom life. May we give testimony to your redeeming work in our lives, and may we have the courage to serve you with an unselfish love. Give us grace to serve and love you most of all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We now bring our tithes and offerings to God. Today, the offering is for Specialized Ministries of the Christian Reformed Church.
Talk the blood.
Shall we pray? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for the CRC ministry, special ministries. We ask that you bless them, the men and women who spread the power of your cross to the world. Thank you for the gifts that have been given to support these ministries. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I know I've said this before, but I'm just so amazed by how the praise team comes up with the songs that fit our sermons. And Cheryl, I thank you for picking all these songs, and you guys for leading us so beautifully. So thank you. I just, before we stand up and recite the Apostles' Creed, let me just say one more thing. We became, my family and I, for those of you who don't know, we became Canadian citizens. So, thank you. But, you know, we also, before that, we also became members of this church, and I'm sorry that we weren't there this Wednesday. And so this church means a lot to us. And as I watch and as I sit on the search committee, I've said this to the search committee many times, we've been without a pastor for almost 2 years, right? And it's amazing to me how much you all have risen up and allowed your gifts and talents to be used for God's glory in this church. And I can pick out names of people that I just see growth in, and spiritually. What I'm trying to say is I'm blessed every time I'm here. And so I thank God, and I thank you all for living out the life of Christ. So thank you. Let us rise and let us recite with the believers of all age and all place the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Before I pray, let me just read back the hymn that we sang together as hymn of response. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain for me, who caused his bitter death. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my Lord, should die for me. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my Lord, should die for me? Our God chases after us because he loves us. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you so much that you love us so much. What an amazing notion to know that we are loved by God who is so loving, God who is so patient, God who would even chase after sinners like us. So thank you, Jesus, for dying on our behalf, dying the death that we deserve to die, but living, also allowing us to live the life that we don't deserve to live. So we glorify you, our God and our Father, our brother, Jesus. Holy Spirit, help us to live a life worthy to be called sons and daughters of God, lover of God. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, great love of our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are high.